This episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.
Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And we're here to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder.
And especially with what's happening with the draft lottery, I want to throw this out there. We've got some exciting stuff. We're actually doing a live episode right now, so we're going to be watching the draft lottery and talking about each of the picks as they go down.
Yeah, man, that's right. The lottery starts in 4 minutes, and so we're going to go ahead and bust out this podcast while we're watching it live. This may completely suck, and if it does, I apologize. And if you hate it, go ahead and tell us. That's fine. We don't fucking care. It'll be great if you tell us how much you hate us. We've heard it all before. But in the end, we're going to just try our best, and we'll see what happens. We haven't really done this. We've talked a lot about like different points, maybe recording while we were watching the fourth quarter of games and different things like that, and it never worked out. This is a chance for us to kind of break down what we're seeing as we see it. So we're pumped up about that, and we appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Yeah, man, and I have a nice cold brew in front of me, and I'm going to be enjoying. I really, really hope this is the moment that we get to literally fuck over Houston by getting their pick and us giving them the number 18th pick, really prolonging how much they're going to suck even more. So to me, this is a great opportunity for that. Mark and I both agree that we don't necessarily wish that's the number one pick. We would be happy with them giving us the 7th pick or even the 6th pick and us getting our pick at number 4. But obviously, we're not going to be greedy about if we take Houston's pick and saying we want 1 and 4 or 1 and 3. Like, that's not the way Mark and I roll. So we recognize there's a reality factor to it. And we just want to kind of play on that and recognize that if we get Houston's pick, we hope it's like a 7 pick so that we can really capitalize what this team needs.
Yeah, man, I just heard Jay Williams talking about how many picks that the Oklahoma City Thunder have over the next few years. And Woj just corrected him. He said that we have 9 picks over the next 3 years. That's pretty fucking incredible. 18 over the next 7. But yeah, those 9 over the next 3 is pretty significant. And that kind of makes everything more exciting. We've been talking a little bit about the idea of the Kemba Walker trade for Ben Simmons, but we really don't know. This is one of the most exciting drafts, lotteries that we've ever seen. It almost feels like there's as much anticipation going into the lottery as there usually is going into the draft.
Yeah, man. And I want to throw this out there. Somebody asked me today if I would, as a GM, if I was a GM, if I would consider a trade Cade Cunningham for Ben Simmons. You know, I just laughed. I mean, the reality is that that would never even happen. But who knows? I mean, this is a changing NBA that people value shooters more so than defenders and all NBA players. So there is an opportunity that if we were to get a very high draft pick that we could be looking at flipping it around right away. To me, I love that idea of trying to get this team better, ready to compete, rather than pick up another project that's going to take a couple years to see a benefit from.
Yeah, I mean, this has been an incredible offseason already, and we've had a chance to break down so many different players' films. It's been a great, great time, and now we get to actually see what the hell is going to happen. There's been a lot of discussion about what we would do or what any team should do with the top 5 picks, but after the top 5, it kind of gets murky. The great thing is we have Sam Presti, so he can turn anything into a surprise. So we're excited about seeing what happens. Obviously, you know, right now it seems like the consensus right now really has everybody thinking that the top 5 is already set. But I just don't believe it. I think there's a lot left to be said. And these players, you know, they have a lot to prove. And this is going to be a lot of fun. So I'm pumped up to see where we get to choose our players from. And then we can start the real process of breaking down who we think will go in that and ranking our players, not necessarily just based on who's the best player today, but who we think has the biggest upside and has the potential to be generational players of the future.
Yeah, man. And again, we're all looking about what makes this team a better team for the future. We understand that there's going to be those people that are dreaming about having the 2 best players in this draft or two of the 4 best players. We understand that. We couldn't help but do the same thing while we were going through that. But that doesn't mean that the best player in this draft in 10 years is going to be the first pick of this draft. Mark and I have been breaking down a lot of film, and it's going to be really interesting to see in the next 5 to 6 years who really emerges as the best player in this draft. I don't know if that's Cade Cunningham. There's a lot of people that think that it is, but there is a lot of teams that have self-doubt about that. So I'm really excited. Right now, they are getting ready to start the show. And as they're going, Mark and I will be switching back and forth to who gets that pick as far as 14 on 13, 12, so on and so forth, making sure you guys get involved with it with us.
Yeah, man. So they just started the pre-draft lottery show. So they're going straight into a bunch of analysis and figuring out all the rules. But in the end, I mean, we're right there, man. And we wanted to make sure that we were live because we wanted to capture the actual excitement we had when we figured it out. Obviously, there's a chance for some disappointment, but Dave and I are really optimistic about everything. We really don't think that the only good players are in the top five. We really believe that there are a number of excellent players that are in the range between 7 and 20. We think that there are some players that have the ability to be all NBA players in that group, and this is unusual. So we really think that this is a win-win simply by having as many opportunities as you can. We definitely don't think that if we were to find ourselves in a position where we ended up with only one pick in the top 10, we would be like, oh, this wasn't worth it. Because we didn't lose those games this year for the sake of losing them. We lost them because we were developing young players. And if we end up going out with nothing but one top 10 pick, we're going to be okay with that too.
Yeah, man. Like we've said many times here, we are not pick greedy. We are not draft pick greedy. We want this team to get better, yes, but we also recognize there is no reason to sit down and waste hours upon hours talking about one individual player that has a less than 11% chance of being on our team. So to me, this is where we are going to really focus and hound in on as these guys go through and as they push the positions that are set. And then, you know, Mark and I will discuss about definitely what's happening with those picks that we are going to get that we're going to find out in the next 10 minutes of where our picks are going to land.
Absolutely, man. And we're looking forward to it. It's really exciting.
Yeah, man, and they're looking right now as Woj right now is going through all the chances. Indiana Pacers have 1% chance. San Antonio Spurs has 1.7% chance. Golden State has a 0.5% chance. And they're just talking about how much it's changed for all these teams. Obviously, we've seen Shaq go to Orlando, who was sitting at number 10. So you're really looking at these positions that we don't know where it's going to land. We could be looking at a position right now that Houston gets bumped out of the top 10. We could get bumped out of the top 10. That's the legitimacy of what's going on with the changes and everything. So, you know, Mark and I, obviously, we love a lot of these players. And we've said since day one, the more players that we could get on this team and more draft picks in the top 10 that we could have is better. So, again, if we end up with 1-5 or 1-4 or 1-3, I mean, that's cool with me, or 1-3, 1-5, 1-6, any of that stuff, I'm cool with. But the reality is that if we even get that, I would be cool with trading Orlando, who missed out, and getting two of their top 10 picks, allowing us to have three top 10 picks. Like, to me, you can't go wrong with that. Yes, you'd be passing up on Cade Cunningham, but to me, there's more value in this draft that is really sitting at 7 through 20. And that is really worth taking a very hard look at, saying these guys could be major players and compete on a championship team, especially if we have three of those instead of just honing in on one. I think that would be a really amazing situation.
Yeah, man, definitely. We've talked a lot about the possibility of trading back if we end up with the number one pick, the potential of even trading back with Houston. If we get the one pick and trading them for a different pick, I think that would be exciting. But, you know, trading back is what we're all about in this draft. We really do believe there's a lot better players, or at least like the players that are in the second part of the top 10 aren't that much different than the first half. And that's why we think that if you can get a couple of picks for one, then you're going to be in a great spot. I know like there's just a lot of people who really, you know, have tunnel vision and they want a certain player, or a certain combination of players. But in the end, I'm telling you, like, the player that is going to be the best from this draft hasn't emerged yet, and that's what we're waiting to see.
Yeah, and again, it's just sitting and being patient. We've got, you know, with every NBA team, you've got year two to year three is a big movement for a player. How much can he improve? Year three to year four is not that much of a bigger deal, but year four to year five is a massive, massive deal. And if you look at drafts in the lottery in the past with a ranking of the players, they always come back. And I have yet to seen a repick done 6 months to a year later that the top five hasn't changed. That is what's insane to me, is you can't do that. Like, that's what's going on here, is that we'll know in the first 6 months where each of the players rank. And that's why it's so important to have a GM like Stan Presti that understands so much about these players and how to break down and what it takes to develop them, and will they fit in Oklahoma City as far as developing. That's what's so fucking exciting about this Oklahoma City Thunder team. I'm stoked for everybody that has been on this adventure with us, and this is really unbelievable, because Mark, we've been doing this now so long, so many episodes now, that it's insane that we're sitting at this point. Because when we started in December, I don't know if we would have been able to say definitively that we would have done a live show talking about what picks are going to be ours during the draft lottery in June, end of June. So the fact is we're here, we're kicking ass, and I'm really excited about what the Thunder are doing right now.
You know, they just put up a clock on the show. They said 9 minutes and 25 seconds until the draft picks are revealed. Rachel Nichols just got done interviewing Akeem Olajuwon real fast. And, man, Akeem has got a little a gray goatee going right now. You know, I had a chance to spend some time with Akeem and spend a day with him. And, you know, he's a great guy. But, man, I just seeing that video of him makes me realize, like, he looks old, man. And that's crazy. I mean, I remember him winning those championships with Houston. The idea that he would be, getting gray hair is pretty crazy, but I guess I'm not that far away either.
Yeah, man. It's strange to me watching all these guys that are, you know, ESPN guys too, because, they just showed Jay Billis, right? I remember when he first got started on ESPN. It's insane. Like, all these guys that we started growing up watching, early 2000 and late 90s, to me is just exciting to see how really ESPN has merged, how they have really included the whole NBA process, draft process. Now they've included the G League into what's going on with the NBA. I love this, Mark. I love how ESPN has really inserted themselves with the NBA and making sure that with G Leagues and all that other stuff, they're giving these players opportunities and chances as much as possible.
They just showed Jay Billis's top five. It went Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs, Jalen Green, and Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah, man, those guys, again, are everybody's wet dream right now. Obviously, for us, we would love to have one of those players on our team. Mark and I have debated a bunch, but really, the two players that Mark and I keep on going back and forth with, really talking about the highest value in the next 5 to 10 years and what they'll be worth, is Suggs and Jalen Green. Mark loves Suggs. I love Jalen Green. I think both of them are transcendent guards in the coming up into the NBA. Obviously, a lot of people are very high on Cade Cunningham, but we have yet to dip our dicks into that yet, and I think that we're going to stay away from that, because the reality is we'll never have that pick anyways, and Cade Cunningham is not going to drop down to number 3 or 4 or wherever we end up. And that's the reality of that. So if we do have that option, I would love to be able to sit and have an opportunity to talk through with you guys on what Mark and I would love to be able to do with that number one pick. But the reality is that this team has an unbelievable opportunity right now in front of us to do something special.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens. I mean, if we end up with that number one pick, we'll definitely be breaking down everybody's game, and talking about keeping it or leaving it. But I don't know. We haven't been ones to get our hopes up, and I think we've been pretty realistic about, this draft, what, the possibilities are that, I see a lot of people say we're either going to end up with a 1 and the 5 or the 8 and the 18, and we understand that it's probably going to be something in between that, and finding a way to, get the most out of the situation, because this is not a situation where, like I said earlier, this isn't all or nothing because we do have 9 picks over the next 3 years. We have 18 over the next 7. I mean, it would be great to nail this pick and to get the number one pick and everything go perfect, and then we can just, you know, move on. But in the reality, it doesn't work that way. And if it does and we're wrong, then we're going to be telling everybody that we were wrong here in a couple of minutes, and we'll have to eat our words.
And I'm okay with eating my words in this particular situation because that just means our team was going to be better. Obviously, adding a number one and number four pick is never, or number one and number five pick, or number one, number seven, whatever, is never going to hurt us as a team. This is going to help us as a team. So, but we just don't want to waste our thought process and mind going crazy in the sleepless nights that we would have by trying to trip each other out by, oh, if we had Cade Cunningham and Jalen Green, oh my gosh, or Suggs and Cunningham. Like, you're right. You're right. But the reality is, that's never fucking going to happen. So we're going to really just keep on doing what we're doing. The reality is we could eat our words, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with saying, ha, dude, this fucking sucks. We got to say we suck at this because we got 1-6. I'm shit, man. Sign me fucking up for that shit.
Yeah, dude, all day. No kidding, man. I'm all right with being wrong if it means something good happened to us. That's for damn sure. It's just that I think it's important to temper expectations because there's no sense in like putting yourself in a position where you're expecting something that's impossible.
Yeah, man. Impossibility is one of those things that a lot of people really, really get stuck on. But Mark and I try to be realists in the realest way we possibly can be. And to me, like we're sitting at number four. So we spent most of our time looking at players that we felt like would fall to number four or further back if we were to draft further back. It's the reality of everything that is so important. And that's why Mark and I are really excited about this. I'm watching right here as they're interviewing Mitchell, who's going to be in this draft right now. He is a young player at 22, I believe he is, Mark, that I would love to have on our team. He is an unbelievable athlete. He's got a brother that's already in the league that's going to help him throughout the league. And I feel like he would be in a massive pickup. But obviously, there's not been a lot of Oklahoma City Thunder podcasts that have spent time on talking about him. We have, because we see the value of what he could do for this team right away and how he could help this team become better immediately.
Yeah, and I said that Jay Billis's fifth player was Kuminga, but it was actually Davion Mitchell. So some people are giving him credit for being in the top five, but definitely not many people in the Oklahoma City Thunder fan base. I think he's an elite talent, and although his age is a little concerning, like what he can do with the basketball is what it's all about, and what he can do on the court. So, you know, he's an elite talent, and like you said, I'd love to end up with him on the team. There are so many good players that are in this draft, and I just feel like it's all about coming out with the most players that you can. Obviously, not just any random players, like players that our scouting system trusts and our scouting department and Sam Presti picks. That's what I'm talking about. But giving us, you know, more picks instead of top picks is what we're all about. And that's what we're going to see what happens here. You know, this is just going to let us know how many, you know, what type of bolts we have going into war here. So we're excited about all the negotiations and all the deals that will come from whatever happens here. So we're looking forward to it. I think there's about 2 minutes till the pick reveal, and we're getting close, so we're pumped up.
Yeah, man, I am totally stoked. We have so many text messages and messages of people making sure that we're watching this. Obviously, we are. We live and breathe Thunder, and this has been the most exciting draft lottery we've had in many, many years. So, of course, we're fucking watching, guys. I love it, though. Keep on asking me dumb questions, and I'll keep on answering them.
Yeah, right now they're just going through, talking to some of the best players. Evan Mobley's on the screen talking right now. They kind of got what they figured out. I like to see Jay Billis's, like I mentioned. He's got somebody else in the top five. Instead of Kuminga, he's going with Davion Mitchell. But, you know, I love seeing Jalen Green way up there. He's someone that, you know, we really believe has the ability to be the best player, you know, from this draft. But he's not getting that level of attention. I think maybe a lot of it has to do with his choice to go to the G League. I mean, if you think about it, Sam Presti went down to the G League in the Orlando bubble early. Maybe he was scouting Kuminga and Jalen Green. I mean, those guys, if you were to put them on our G League team, they would have played very well. I think it's a great place to find value, so maybe that's where it's at.
Yeah, man, I love seeing Nazar Muhammad on our draft right there. They're about to reveal it, but man, he's sitting there. He is our G League GM. This is exciting. Here we go.
Pick number 14. The envelope is being opened right now, and it goes to the Golden State Warriors. Thank the Lord.
Yeah, they didn't move up there at all. That's awesome. He's like, damn it. Suck dick, Rick Welts.
All right. 13th pick. Right, Dave, right. You call it. Indiana Pacers.
Indiana Pacers.
I'm in front of you, bro.
Can't spoil it for me now.
San Antonio Spurs.
Going in fucking order. I love this right now.
All right, so number 11. Here we go. Charlotte Hornets. Going in order.
I'm down with this. I'm down with this. This is what we need, Mark. This is what we need.
Number 10, going to the Pelicans. And every time they show a face, they look pissed off. This is fucking awesome,
this, yeah.
Dude. We are now in the top 10.
Cash.
Number 9, here we go. The Kings. The Kings, and he looks moderately pissed.
Looks
number
like he just
8.
Had an enema, man.
Here we go. It is the Magic. This is huge, man. This is huge.
The Magic dropped out of the top 3.
7th pick to the Warriors. To the Warriors. We're at number 6. Here we go. Oklahoma City Thunder. All right. Well, that's a little bit disappointing. And number 5, he is right here. So if we don't get Houston here, then we are leave the lottery with the number 6 pick. Orlando. So, boom. There you go, guys. We get the 6th pick and nothing else from the lottery. I'm sure there are some pissed off people on Twitter right now.
I mean, it stings a little bit, man. I'll be honest. But to be honest, this is okay because there's so much value in this draft. Even at number 6, if we decide that we wanted to trade back for more picks, we could do that. 14 and 7 are standing there. Scotty Barnes is there. Man, this is good stuff for us. I understand there's a lot of pissed off people right now, and you should be pissed off in the aspect of you're not getting that top 4 pick. But this is what we need. We needed a player that was established. We're going for a playoff push.
Yeah, and this is why from the beginning we've been trying to temper everybody's expectations because, let's face it, like, if you're talking about only going to be satisfied if you end up with the 1 and the 5, you're going to be pretty pissed off if all you get is the 6th. So we got the 6th pick. They're going to commercial right now before they go forward. Obviously, it stings. I mean, but in the end, you know why it doesn't really bother me, even in a little bit? In fact, I'm excited about it, is because Sam motherfucking Presti. Like, I'm not worried. You take the number 6 pick, okay, and you package that with Kemba Walker, you can move anywhere. Sure, you may not be able to move up to the top 3. That's fine. But we're not talking about that. We're constantly talking about moving back, you know, finding more players in that mid-range. So that's what I want to do. Dave, real quick while I'm talking, why don't you go ahead and tell me who you think we would take with the number 6 pick if it stood exactly how it is right now.
As it is, man, I think we take Scotty Barnes. If not, we're trading back to pick up number 14 and number 7 from Golden State because we value the player at number 7 more. I personally think that this would be a better option for us. Scotty Barnes fits our team very well, but I still feel like the Golden State Warriors are going to pay a lot for him because this is the player that they've been targeting this whole fucking time. So for me, I'm circling this right here. I'm saying that the Golden State Warriors will give up 14 and number 7 to move up to us. We've shown that we've been able to do scenarios and trade scenarios with them before, and it's worked well for both teams. So I think this is another scenario that we're going to be talking about, is that Scotty Barnes either is going to the Oklahoma City Thunder because we value him very high, or we're going to trade back one pick and pick up an extra lottery pick. And if we pick up 14, 16, and 18, holy fucking shit, man. We have a massive list of players that we could go through.
I love that, man. I love that. I think that's a great suggestion. Obviously, there's a lot that the Warriors want from Scotty Barnes. I think he's the guy that they would be targeting. And the idea of us getting, you know, the picks that they had, you know, two picks in the lottery for our pick, I think that would be fucking amazing. I love that suggestion. I love, you know, the fact that, you know, we could do something like this and in a lot of ways, you know, still be open to, you know, trading Kemba Walker if that perfect deal comes along and we don't really have to give up anything. I mean, that's awesome, man. I think the sixth pick will be a really, really critical bargaining chip that we use over the summer.
I agree, man. To me, there's so much value in number six, and we've been saying that. This is the whole reason Mark and I didn't buy into this whole 1-5 or 1-7 or whatever that everybody's been saying, is because all these guys are crying right now in their basements, all pissed off at the world right now. Mark and I are very excited about the future of this Thunder because we see the value. We've said since day one, we've seen the value, and that's why we've hyper-focused on 7 through 20. That is where the value is, 6 through 20. And we've said it since day one. That is where we're looking at picking right now. And guess what? We're stoked because if we could pick up 7 and 14, that means we get an elite player in the top 10 plus another lottery pick there, and we're moving up. I mean, I can't even say how excited I am right now. This is a perfect scenario for us.
Yeah, it is. And I know that a lot of people are going to be pissed off and they're going to be looking at it in a negative way, almost act like it was a wasted year or whatever, but they're just wrong and they're ignorant, and we're not going to worry about them because we're excited about this. This is, you know, the sixth pick is really good. We could have easily got screwed over. We could have easily fell out of this spot. I mean, the sixth pick is right about where we should be. I mean, it really is. Like, we could complain and everything about not being up one spot, but the reality is the sixth pick is about as close as you can get to where you belong. And be just, you know, and be fine. I mean, we're going to be fine. We don't need to be in the top five. I know down to decay and stuff, literally the whole year, whenever they would ask about, anybody would ask about a pick outside of the top five, they'd say, like, we haven't even looked outside of the top five. We're so hyper-focused and so obsessed with the top five. Well, here we are. We don't have a top five pick. And guess who wasted a whole year hyper-focusing on something that's impossible? So here we go. The top four picks are about to be revealed. There's four teams left. You got the Rockets, Pistons, Cavs, and Raptors. They are getting ready to reveal the next pick. It's interesting this year. They're not showing you the actual lottery ping pong ball machine, and they're just showing you the envelopes. In the past, I've seen the machine, but they're not doing that anywhere. So here we go. We got fourth pick. Envelope is being opened up right now. Goes to the Raptors. So Fred VanVleet.
Raptors jumped up, man. Good job for Raptors there.
The third pick goes to the Cavs. So now we got Hakeem Olajuwon versus Ben Wallace. Two champions, two all-time greats in the middle. One-on-one. Let's see who's got it.
Come on, Detroit.
And it goes to the Rockets. So that means the winner is Detroit. How about that?
Yes.
Troy Weaver gets the number one pick. Ben Wallace coming through in the clutch once again for the Pistons.
Yes, fuck the Houston Rockets. Yes, man, yes. Woo, keep Cade Cunningham out of the West.
Yeah, man.
Why am I cheering like this? This is like we won the lottery by fucking over Houston. This is great, man.
Hey, we didn't fuck him over. Ben Wallace blocked their shot, man. Yeah, it's definitely an interesting thing. Obviously, now everybody begins the process of speculation, and it's going to get wild. Obviously, Troy Weaver, former Thunder assistant general manager, takes over the Pistons and puts them into a rebuild, and now they're sitting there, and they have the number one pick. It goes Pistons, Rockets, Cavs, Raptors, Magic, Thunder at number six, the Warriors at seven, Magic, Kings, Pelicans, Hornets, Spurs, Pacers, and Warriors. And so once again, we're talking about potentially trading the Warriors for the 7 and the 14 so that they can have the 6 and get their dream Scotty Barnes. And then we can obviously clean up with the other picks. I don't know, man. I love that.
I mean, I love Scotty Barnes. I think that he would be a huge asset to this team right away. He would be making a massive difference. But you have to really look at it and you have to really wonder, is Scotty Barnes going to give us the amount of options that picking, like I said, Mitchell at number seven, a very strong point guard, allowing our other guys to move off the ball more. This is the thing, is I can't tell you for sure what's going to be happening, but I do know for a fact right now is the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to wheel and deal. They're going to be looking at possibly moving back. Obviously, if Scotty Barnes fits that niche that they've been looking for, we're going to go after him. But I don't know, and I can't be convinced that he is. And if he's not, 7 and 14 look a hell of a lot better than number 6.
Man, I couldn't be any more excited. Obviously, with the 6th pick, I was a little bit apprehensive. But as soon as you said we could trade with the Warriors, they want Scotty Barnes at 6, and we could get the 7 and the 14. And of course, we get a throw-in with that, too. I mean, it could be pretty fucking awesome. I'm really, really pumped up about it, and I love the idea. I think that this is going to be one of those big things that helps us ride into the future. I mean, you go from having one pick and you turn it into two, then you're talking about 10 picks over the next 3 years. You know, like, this is fucking awesome, dude. I'm so excited. I understand why some people are disappointed, and I don't blame you. Unfortunately, you got led astray by people who, you know, were promising you the world, and all they could give you was a pile of coal.
Yeah, and that's exactly why we've been real, and that's why we called ourselves realists as this draft was unfolding in front of us, is because the reality is not every single time does your wet dream actually happen. And this didn't happen for us, but if you are sitting there disappointed, take a deep breath, recognize number 6 is a hell of a lot better than number 10. And the fact is that we have said since day one, there's more value in the back of this draft than I feel like in the top 5. And if we get number 7 and then we package, you know, 2 picks of the next 3 of the 14, 16, and 18, and we package 2 of those, we could move up and get close into the top 12, if not even further up with those 2 picks. If we took number 14 and number 16, I think we could trade into number 9. That means we would end up with 2 top 10 picks, man. I can't be more happier about this. This is exciting.
Yeah, man, I'm too excited about. I'm excited about this too, man. I'm taking a look at real quick at Twitter as we talk, just to see all the fans complaining. And yo, man, there are some pissed off looking people, man. I'll tell you that right now, man. This is not ideal, guys. That's from Thunder Chats. That's about the best that we can see. That wouldn't even be anywhere close to the worst things that we could say.
Again, take a deep breath and recognize that some of the best in the NBA, and especially looking at this last 4 teams in the NBA right now, Hawks at, Trae Young, he didn't come in the top 5. You look at Giannis, he wasn't in the top 5. You look over across the way, you have Booker at number 4, I think it was. But then you have, other than that, I mean, you've got the Clippers. Look at who they have. You know, Kawhi at number 12, 14, 15, whatever it was there. That's my point, is that in drafts like this, sometimes the best player in the draft is in that teen range. Anybody that knows anything about NBA and sports the way it is that there's always sleepers in the draft that end up becoming a top 5 player in that draft. I think the way to do that and guarantee that we get one of those top 5 players in the draft is by getting these teen picks. That's it. That's what Mark and I have been saying. Doubling down, we've got 2 teen picks right now. I would love to see us get 3 teen picks, because to me, that's where the value is. That's where we could see our team not just getting better, but getting better in a massive step in one fucking year.
Yeah, man. And we're going to keep watching for it, man. We're going to keep up with this. We're going to definitely see what happens. We're going to break down these picks. We're going to break up down more trades. This is what Dave does best. This is, this is Dave's zone, man. He loves to break down trades. So we got a lot more to talk about, and we're going to be all over it. So we hope you'll join us coming up tomorrow as we really break down what we see is the best way to go with the 6th pick. We aren't those type of people who will be like, you know, like very specific. We like to talk in generalizations and talk about giving us more options and finding ways to, you know, maybe find teams that we could put together 3-team deals. But we understand that it's difficult to predict the exact deal. So we're talking more about like the structures of deals and things like that. That's what we go for, and that's what we're aiming to do. So we hope you'll join us as we get together tomorrow to really break down what this number six pick means and what we can do with it, because we got options, man. And I'm telling you, man, we can do almost anything. So we're pumped up, and we hope you'll join us once again. Thanks again for joining us for The Last Storm. We'll be back tomorrow. And just a reminder, this episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.